Okay, so we left off last, I'm sorry about this past week. We left off 2 weeks ago, Garrett, with a question. Based on Simon Shin Tes, according to Shimon, that there's usually no muksa except for when it's like Grogis or Tzmukim here. I was Dachi Bedaim. I took those beautiful grapes, beautiful figs, put them up on the roof in a place that it's going to get very mushy and not right to be eaten, and there's nothing you can do it. So I knew that it's going to happen on Shabbos. So by me putting it there, it's called Dachi Bedaim. I sort of, with my das, I pushed it away from being used on Shabbos. So that remains muksa. So now the question was, I had washed the laundry before Shabbos. The laundry is wet. I cannot wear it while it's wet. Can I? And now dry it on Shabbos. Can I use it on Shabbos? So Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosim Perik Tezvav Halach Yutes says Kvasim Shetala Yisam LeYivish Mibayim. You have laundry that you hung to dry while it was still Friday, because there's a separate issa on Shabbos. It's also to hang wet laundry in the place where you normally hang your laundry to dry. Over here, I hung it already Erev Shabbos. He says, "Kvasim, you have laundry that you hung Erev Shabbos to dry. It's mutter to take it down on Shabbos as long as at the time of Shabbos was entering in, at the time of Bein Hashmashos, or when Yontiv was entering, it was already dry or slightly wet, but not wet enough that you could squeeze water out of it. So then it will be mutter to take it down on Shabbos." And the idea is, because since when Shabbos started, this was too wet for me to wear or too wet for me to touch, because this is a schita, you might come to squeeze it. So I was not allowed to touch it when Shabbos started. So during Bein Hashmashos, this was muksa, remains muksa for the whole Shabbos. Now, the question is, that if we take a look, what's this based on? This is based on Miga the Skatzoi, the Bein Shmash Skatzoi, now the Kuliyoy, the Mishmura Sifkat and Shinches Sifkat and Samach Gimel. This is based on Mishmura Shinches Sifkat and Samach Gimel. Rav Shlaim Zalman, he asked the Stira. He said L'chaira, not Stira. He said L'chaira, it's refreshed in the Magen Avraham in Simen Shin Hei, Sivkat and Yud Aleph. If you have wet begadim, which are right to be worn, it's not considered muksa. And he says, take a look in Shin Aleph and Shmuru Sivkat and Kuf Samach Beis, Sharetzin Sivkat and Reish Gimel, that if I only have the wet begadim, I'm allowed to wear it. And he has another few kashas over here. So he comes out with the aside. A very interesting aside. If, let's say, I knew for sure that at the time, when Shabbos was starting, I knew for sure that this beggar will be dry on Shabbos, and on Shabbos I'm going to be able to wear it, even though right now I couldn't wear it because there's a gzera there, I might come to squeeze it, it was so wet, then it's not muksa. So the example they give is, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, during the summer months, it's really hot, it's very hot, especially those people that hang the laundry outside the window. Within a few minutes, within 15, 20 minutes, it's dry. Now we're just going to go over what we started discussing. We left off last share with a question. If I have wet laundry, And it dries now on Shabbos, can I use it on Shabbos? So the simple answer would be no, because since at the time of Bein Hashmashos, this was wet, and was wet enough that there's an issur for me to touch it, to even if I want to move it, I'm not allowed to move it because I might come to Schita, the Zigzari, and not allowed to move a wet beged, because you might come to Schita, so therefore it should remain muksa for the whole Shabbos. That would be the simple answer. What we're saying now is there are some zavos b'chadish that if at the time Bein Hashmashos The only reason I could move this is because right now it's very wet and there's a gzera that I shouldn't touch it. I might come to squeeze it. But I knew that this will, for sure, there's no tzad not, that this is going to dry on Shabbos. Then it'll be mutter for me to use it on Shabbos. So if, let's say, in the summer, in Eretz Yisrael, we're in summer in Eretz Yisrael, it's hot from the beginning to the straight through, it's very hot. The sun comes out, it's hot. You hang your laundry outside, or even inside, there's no chance that laundry is not going to dry within a half an hour, hour. So, or, a better example, I have it in the dryer. It's in the dryer. It's for sure going to dry. Right now, Shabbos starting, it's wet. It's very wet. But it's going to dry. The dryer does a good job. So it will for sure be dried on Shabbos. Says Rishlam Zaman, then it won't be Muksa. Now, in the Mishnah Berurah, it's a question if the Mishnah Berurah will agree to this or not. As you'll take a look at those Ma'ariv Mekayim that I mentioned to you before. If this does answer up a seemingly theory in the Mishnah Berurah that we mentioned. But the question is if the Mishnah Berurah really held of it or not. But where does this idea come from? So in the Shulchan Aruch Avin Simen Shin Tes, the Mishnah Berurah over here makes a chiluk between that it's Gomrei B'day Adam or Gomrei B'day Shemayim. Gomrei B'day Adam, if I need a person to finish it off, that's when it remains Muksa. But if it's Gomrei B'day Shemayim, if the finishing off is B'day Shemayim, right here, let's read it. It's even Shintes. I think it's Shintes. What? Shin Yud, I meant. I'm sorry, Shin Yud. Shin Yud. Look at Shin Yud, Sifkat in Yud Tes. Darehim Kavanava Ve'ofer. Kosva Paiskim. Amos I am reading this Katil Ben Shema Shois. Davkit Vam Shigomri Bidei Shemaim. Gigon Groi Grois. Deinigmar Melare De Choy Machama. Veshema Yeyim Onon B'Shabbos. When do we say that's muksa? That's something like groigers and smukim, that I need shemayim to dry it out so that I can eat it as a dried fruit. So I don't know that shemayim's going to decide to be hot tomorrow. Might be a cloudy day. That's totally a me. Tomorrow, shenasan lemayim be'erev Shabbos. After bevada in ruim beben shmashes, even though it's not roy ben shmashes, loy hatamarim v'loy hamayim, though they called to time and didn't catch the taste yet, she ruin l'shti of gamma tamarim. Lein atzman lechazia filo hachi le'asich daite minayo al yom shav she muksamach v'zeda biyode lash oisen al lemacha sheikl to time tamarim. So the same thing will be also. Since I put it in a place where I know on a summer Shabbos morning, it's going to be very hot over there, or I left it in the dryer where I know it's going to dry on Shabbos, gets the din of Gomrei B'Yadayim, that even though Ben Hashmash is, I couldn't use it, but now it's not Muksa on Shabbos. So now I go to my dryer, I want to open the dryer door to take out the shirt that's in there, to wear Shabbos morning. So if a light goes on, so that's a separate issue, right? Some dryers you open up, there's light. But here in Israel, the Israeli dryers don't have that. So you don't have to worry about that. So am I allowed to open the door of the dryer? It's off now. There's no electrical currents happening. Finished. It's off. The cycle's over. Can I open the door? So it's a klishim lachte l'isser. Klishim lachte l'isser is mutl tzarek gufay. M'kayimei. I need to open the door in order to get what's in there. So either it's gufay, I'm using the door to be able to get to what's in there, or you could say it's tzarech mekayimai. It's blocking me from getting my shirt. So I'm allowed to open the door. I'm allowed to use the shirt. Because since when Shabbos started, even though it was wet, at the beginning of Shabbos, and at that point I was not allowed to touch it, since I knew it's going to dry on Shabbos, therefore, it does not remain muksa. Yeah? Okay. Well, you're not sure. What's your question?
Why is that
Noilat? Noilat, where's the Noilat?
It was created, there's no purpose in it.
It was created?
There's no purpose, it's like from one clean.
No purpose? A shirt, a wet shirt has no purpose?
I can't use it. If I can't use it, we say it's
not Noilat. It's a good question, it's a good thought, but it's not Noilat. Noilat is where there's two types of Noilat. There's Noilat, a real Noilat, where it went from from almost, I mean, we don't create things yesh ra'ayin, but we only do yesh v'yesh. But lemaisa, from nothing to something, or from something to something, like water to ice, is a quasi nolad.
Is it? If you keep it outside, you wouldn't be able to use it.
Yeah, but this is a min shemayim, which I know vada is going to happen. So it's like that's why I said during the summer in Eretz Yisrael, not in New York City, where it could get cloudy and rain. Okay.
Why did Tarek go from Makomo to open the
it's a klish and lach del
issa. No, but why is it?
Let's say Mekoyme. I'd rather say Mekoyme because I need the space where the door is to get in to get my shirt.
That's called Makomo.
Why not? That's mamish Mekoyme. Where the thing is situated, I need that. Okay. If you look at the Shemini Shabbos, later on in Perichav Beis, Halacha Gemara, he says, Kvasim, laundry that was wet, Ben Shemashes, is also to move on a Shabbos Yantav, even if it dried later on. Because they weren't really Ben Shemashes. And then later on, then he speaks of from Shem Zav, the Chish that we mentioned. Now, yeah, what?
Is it a problem to have it dry running into Shabbos?
So that's a separate issue. I think we mentioned the last Chabur that if it makes enough noise that you can hear it in the next room, so then there's a problem of Shmas call, right? If it makes enough noise that you can hear in the next room, then it's a problem. Then it's a Zilzot to Shabbos. Nowadays they make these, you put your washing in the wall and you have like a door in front of it and you open it up, some people have. So it could be Bechal in the same room. That's it, because you can't see the machine. So that makes it even schwer.
Dry is considered
b'dei adam? When I know the yisod, the chili between b'dei adam and b'dei shemayim is that I know vada it's going to be mukhan on Shabbos. Right? Read that mishmurus of katan. It does your design. Okay. Now there's another interesting idea here. What's the deal with muksa b'taos? I made a mistake. I thought it's muksa, but it's really not. When Shabbos started, I had a pile of fruit, which I assumed for some reason that was arla. I thought it was arla. Arla you can't eat, you can't banana from. So in my mind, these fruits were off limits. Someone on Shabbos comes and tells me, oh, by the way, you should know those fruits are good fruits. And I say, wait a minute, aren't they the arla fruits that you picked? He says, no, those are not the arla fruits. So even though when Shabbos came in, I thought this was muksa. I was mesich das from it. I took it, I put it on the side, I'm not using it. But since I made a mistake, and it was made known to me that it is mutter to eat, so these pears are not muksa. So therefore, another example that is, if let's say the laundry was wet on Friday, and in a way that it's not, I didn't know vada it's going to dry on Shabbos. But now I found out that it was really dry already, Erev Shabbos. I assumed for some reason that the person did the wash right for Shabbos and therefore it was wet. And it was lying around. I find that now on Shabbos that was really dry already enough, Erev Shabbos. So again, it's mutter to wear it. If there's a ta'os, again, a ta'os, muksa b'ta'os is not going to be muksa. That's another insight he brings down over here. Now, I just wanted to point out also another two nekudas. One is about tilta begufa and one is tilta minatzad. Tilta minatzad we've came across a few times in Sim Shin Ches and Shin Tes also. And the Shulchan Aruch over here in Shin Yud Aleph Sif Ches. I know not everyone got there, but Shin Yud Aleph Sif Ches. The Mechaber says, Tilt min atzad l'tzarech dava muta muta. If I want to move something, min atzad means indirectly. I'm not moving it with my hands, but I'm doing something else that's causing it to move. I'm moving it indirectly. So then it's muta, but there's a tanai. You have to be doing it for the dava muta. For example, he gives an example. Let's say I have a tznoin, a radish. In those days they didn't have refrigerators. So how do they keep their vegetables fresh? They stuck it in the ground. And it's cool in the ground. So he had a radish which was not attached to the ground. Obviously, if it's rooted in the ground, you have other issues of kitzer. So he took the radish, he stuck it in the ground, and he leaves the leaves of it sticking out. Then you come, you pull it by the leaves, and the dirt, which is muksa that's sitting on it, falls off by itself. So that's mutta. I'm doing the tzarech dav mutta. I want to have radishes to eat. So I pull it out, and the dirt falls away. It's indirectly moving the indirect movement of the sand. That's not a problem. That's one example he gives over here. Now, and this is true, even if I put it there Erev Shabbos, with das, that's going to stay there the whole Shabbos, and now I decided on Shabbos to eat it. It's not called a basis. Now, that's tiltum min hatzad. I go to the freezer. In the freezer, I have raw meat, raw fish, things which are muksa. And I want to get the chalo, the kugel out, in the freezer, let's say everything's on top of each other. I want to get the kugel out, or the chala out, but by me pulling the chala out, the raw fish is going to fall to the side. That's not a problem, that's a tiltum in a tzad, l'tzarech dov amutah. Now, what happens on the door of the refrigerator? There's a shelf over there for the eggs, the raw eggs, and people store spices there, or different things. So eggs, raw eggs, we discussed are muksa nowadays. Raw eggs are muksa. Perhaps there are some other things that are on the door that are muksa. Can I open and close the door? So there's a tiltum in a tzad. Tiltum in a tzad, I'm opening the door, the tzarech dava mutter, to get the orange juice. So that's mutter. Is the door a buses? So that we're going to say it's not a buses because a door has its own function, which is to open and close. Its function is not to hold the eggs. That's a good spot to put the eggs, but it's not there to hold the eggs. Okay, so it won't be a buses. So I'm not open until the inside. Now the question is, but Erev Shabbos, I know that I'm going to have to do tiltum in a tzad on Shabbos. I'm going to have to do tiltum in a tzad on Shabbos. Do I have a achrayus Erev Shabbos to make sure that no tiltum in a tzad is taking place on Shabbos? What would be the svara to say yes? So Rav Eliyashu wants to bring a raya from Shintes. It says, if I have a basket with fruit and stones, so now, if I lift the basket in order to get the fruit to the table, that's a tiltum in a tzad. I'm carrying the basket, which has in it a stone. What does the Shulchan Aruch say over there? Tilt the basket over, let everything fall out, and then just put the fruit back. Unless the fruit can get ruined, so then you don't have to do it. One second, what's wrong? Let me just do the tiltum in a tzad. Seems from that halacha that no, we don't let you do tiltum in a tzad if you can get out of it. Right, from the fact that we say be matter, right? The barrel also. There's a rock on the barrel, so I can pick the barrel up and move it. And it's a tiltum in a tzad. No, tilt the barrel so the rock falls off, unless it's going to break the other barrel, right? That's what it said. So pick the barrel up, tilt the barrel, let the rock fall off, and then carry the barrel. So you see, we try to get out of it. So says Rav Yashiv, you should walk right in your house, Erev Shabbos, and make sure you don't run into this issue. However, Shlem Zalman said back, That you're right, you found a nice makar, but that makar is on Shabbos. But we don't find any makar that Erev Shabbos, I need to make sure that I'm not going to come to a tiltum in a tzad situation on Shabbos. That was his response. And if halacha l'maaseh, you look around, you don't see the oilam being made to run around the house before Shabbos, and taking it off all their tiltum in a tzad. So it seems that the minig is that we don't check Erev Shabbos, but on Shabbos we have that din of Nior, that if I could do Nior, then... So what happened? A lady was going to visit her mother. She lives in Gula. She lives in Matzdorf, and her mother lives by Kikar Shabbos. And for whatever reason, she doesn't want to have to borrow money from her mother, Matzah Shabbos. She was in a position that she could only walk one way. The other way, she'll have to take a bus. Okay, so she can only walk one way. The way back, she's going to have to go by bus. So she's going to work. Children, so they're going to walk there. But she doesn't want to borrow money from her mother for whatever reason. So she wants to know, could she bring along her Rav Kav? It's muksa. Could she bring it along? So the Eitz would be is take a bag, put the Rav Kav in it with some oranges. Some oranges. You'll eat some oranges when you get there, or on the way you'll eat some oranges. I'll be together with Dava Mutta, with a Dava Asa, it's a Tulta Yidid Dava Acher. You're moving it for the oranges, and with the oranges, there's also the Rav Kav. Now, do I have to do near? No, because it's going to cause me a hefsid. When I get there, Matzah Shabbos, I'm not going to have my Rav Kav, I'm going to have to walk back, and that's going to be painful. For she can do it. Right? So that would be Mutta.
I wasn't just throwing out the basket was in the room
of
the food itself. I thought it was
gonna. Why should it be different? It's gonna cause a hefset.
So it's like a random hefset. It's not like.
Why should it be different? Okay, now, that's Tiltum and Atzad. Then we have Tiltum and Guf. Tiltum and Guf is moving with the Guf. Now, Tiltum beguf is interesting. It says here, "Afilu tzarich davar asa mutter." Tiltum in itself is only mutlu tzarich davar mutter. Tiltum in beguf, to move something in maguf, is mutter, even if it's a tzarich davar asa, right? Even if it's a tzarich the davar asa. So now, we had a Mishnah Berura all the way in the beginning in Shin Ches, where he said over there. He said, Shin Ches, right in the beginning, says over here, V'ulfize munach eze dava muksa al oretz, if there's something muksa on the ground, muta ledachfei baraglov kedei shalo yovei lehefzid. You can kick it with your foot, so it won't come to a hefzid. One second. Kicking with my foot is a Tiltul beguf. It's not with my hands, right? Tiltul is when you move with your hands. Moving it with any part of any other part of my body, that's a tiltul beguf. So why is he saying kadesh le'yavei lehefzid? So you could say, he's just saying a practical example. And that's why would you be kicking mukhs around if not to prevent it from coming to hefzid? So he doesn't mean davka hefzid. That's not what he means. That's what could be pshat in the Mishwara, and that's probably pshat in the Mishwara. The Chazanish, over here, turn to Reish Ayin Vav, I think it is. Reish Ayin Vav. So the Shulchan Aruch is talking about over here, if you get stuck on the road before Shabbos, what am I supposed to do? But then there's a halacha like this. It says, wait, not Reish Ayin Vav, I'm sorry. Reish Samach Vav. So it says over here, it says in Sif Yud Beis, okay, so first of all, Sif Yud Beis, we can see, first says here, Yeshay v'dedavka v'chavila yitzir l'asgav v'lo v'kisiv, Yeshay v'dedavka v'lo v'kisiv, haga, and the Rambam says, so Misha shachach kisei olo b'shabes, someone forgot his kiss. His money bag, his money pouch on him. Imu bebeisa, if he's in his house where there's no haitsa shailas, yachalelechimai lecheder, he goes to the room, he can walk to whichever room he wants, then he undoes the belt, the money belt, and just lets it fall where he wants it to fall. Imu beshuk, if he's in the shuk where there's no eriv, or any place in the street, and falls off. And you can tell the guy to watch it. Okay. So over here we see the heter is, like we mentioned before. It says in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, Yachal Leilich, the Chim Shamuk to be Yoda, Yachal Leilich, Yimad Chamak Shiyitzu. No, not there. That's something else. Okay. Okay, now, Sif Yud Gimel is what I want to get to. Matza Arniki B'Shabbos. You're walking in the street and you see a nice purse with some money. Or you found some nice watch sitting out there. Okay, watch is not Muksa. Okay, so Matza Arniki B'Shabbos. Also, Litloi, it's also to take it. Av B'Shi Yorei Peni Kadmeno Acha. It's also to pick up that money they see out there because it's muksa. Even though you worry that someone else is going to get to it before you. So what's the etza? Says the Bira Halacha, Penikan Meracha, But you can kick it with your foot. Chazanish says, whoa, how can you say that? How can you be mad to kick it with your foot? Says, the whole heter tiltu beguf is because you're not doing it the normal way of carrying. The normal way of moving something is with your hands. So when you do it with your guf, it's not the normal way. It's like a shino. It's like kalachiyad. It's not the normal way of doing it. Now, when you have something on the floor, the normal way is to kick away your foot. So you're doing it in its normal way. Right, the Chazanish says, he calls the Mishabura, says...
What if it was Monday, I would pick it up?
True, but still, it's a normal way to kick. Let's say it's a rock. Where's Mashmi? You can kick with your foot. He says, any Muxi, you can kick with your foot. The Chazanish says, if that's the normal way to move it, then you can't do that. So what you see over here is the fundamental machlekes. You can play with the examples. You give it an example. But the machlekes over here is, how do we understand tiltu beguf? Do we understand tiltu beguf is because Chazal only adds it tiltu b'yadayim, but any other part of my guf is mutan? That's when Mishbura understood it. Or no, tiltu beguf is mutan because it's not the normal way of doing it. So then you're right. Each case will have to dot up, is this the normal way or not? The Shulchan Aruch Rav takes like an in-between mahalach. The Shulchan Aruch Rav seems to say, do it as you're walking. Like, you're walking, and as you're walking, you're pushing it as you're walking. Don't just kick it. Do it as you're walking. Which is like, mahalach ha-maisa, the many goyims like the Mishnah Berurah, that if there's mooks around and you can kick it with your foot, you can kick it with your foot, or you can move with any part of your body except for your hands. So I'll ask you a question like this. Let's say I go to the Kaisel and I got change from the driver. I got change, I gave him 100, he gave me change, whatever was left. And now I have a choice. Either I could give it to Tztaka or by the Kaisel, or I could or I could put it in my pocket, and when I get back to the dorm, I'll shake it out of my pocket. So now, what would be wrong with putting it in my pocket and walking with it? I mean, not what would be wrong. What was the question? It's a total beguf. I'm moving it with my guf. It's hanging on my guf. I'm moving it with my guf. So, according to what I'm saying from the Mishnah Berurah, okay, who cares that it's a normal way of carrying it, but it's being carried by my guf. It should be mutter, as long as you use Samech on the Erev again. As long as you use Samech on the Erev. The Aruch HaShulchan's mashma that it would not be mutter. Even if you learn that it's totally normal, not normal, but putting it in your pocket, since it's the derech you carry it, then that's already, that doesn't have the head of tiltu beguf. So therefore, is it better to put it, if it's a small amount to change, and you can give it to Tztaka, the stomach, that's a better choice. If it's a situation where you don't have a choice, where you'd rather not give it to Tzalko, I don't mean in a bad way, I'm just saying it's a nice amount or whatever it is, and you didn't think about it beforehand, that you're going to have change on your, the whole currency is hundreds and 200, so you always run into that problem. But, so then you have this head to put in your pocket, don't touch it, when you get back, you shake it out.
According to the Shulchan Aruch, could you put it in your shoe up? Shoe.
Yeah, you could do that also. Right. That might be a better etza. Put it in your shoe or put it in your hat. You know, there's like the inside there. Yeah, that's a better etza. That's right. It's not in your pockets. It's totally right. Put it in your sock or put it in your.
The Shabru holds that if you put it in your pocket?
Yeah, it doesn't say mefurish. But the way I understand it, should be mutter. I don't see him making any chalukim. So that would be better. Because the whole spot of your pocket is because that's the normal way you carry it. You don't usually carry things in your pocket. No, Shulchan Aruch Rav is mashed with something in between. I'm not clear.
The one we just said that probably
in the pocket. The Aruch Shulchan. Maybe. Not sure. So we can stop here. Now, the truth is that I think I more or less covered the main topics of Muksa. Where's the item holding? Okay, so I will make a choice like this. Those that want to continue muksa, you continue muksa. Those that do not, can jump to Telchus Purim. I'll tell you which siman to look at, if you want to. And then next week we'll speak about Purim. But again, the share will be, you'll be able to follow the share. It'll be just the halachas that you need to know for Purim. So the share, if even if you're still learning muksa, you can still join the share. You don't have to then not come to the share because of that. But those that want to start, so Tav Resh Pei Vav is very important. Tav Resh Pei Vav, Tav Resh Pei Zayin, Tav Resh Pei Ches is a little complicated. We'll speak it out, and then. Okay, see Tav Resh Pei Vav, Tav Resh Pei Zayin. If you have time, Tav Resh Pei Ches, and that's what we're going to speak about next week, and then I'll give you Bar Mikvah further.